was undoubtedly the one called, quite simply, setting fire to the policeman. Now, this risky operation was invariably carried out at night, since darkness made it less likely that we would be recognized, and at the same time lent dramatic emphasis to the spectacle of the flaming bobby. There were several alternative methods and variations used in perpetrating this jape, but I will confine myself to describing the standard procedure we usually employed. Three carefree young limbs would sally forth of an evening, each one knowing by heart what he had to do. One lad, selected for his fleetness of foot, would be wearing plimsolls. Another, chosen for his golden ringlets and generally angelic appearance, would be clad in a velvet suit. Whilst the third, the strong man of the party, would be carrying a packet of lucifers and an enormous bucket which was half filled with kerosene. The time of the rendezvous with the previously selected but unsuspecting constable, incidentally always a man noted for his good nature and kindness to children, it was planned to the split second. And it was so arranged that the encounter took place in the darkest portion of some ill-lit street. On arrival at the appointed place, the team would spring into action like clockwork. Pretending to blubber, you see, the velvet-clad cherub would approach the officer and murmur, rather inaudibly through his sobs, that he was lost. Whereupon the worthy custodian of the law would kneel or bend down in order to make out what the pathetic infant was saying. Now then, at this precise moment, the bearer of the kerosene-filled bucket would swiftly emerge from the shadows and empty the entire contents of his utensil over the peeler. Then, like lightning, a lucifer was produced, struck, run along the hem of the blue tunic, and, hey presto, yet another policeman in a state of combustion. Well done, lads.
short time on earth, but he did a lot of great music. Bob Motley. There's it, Bob Motley. I Shot the Sheriffy. That's from 1973. Made a lot of good music. A lot of good music to smoke weed to. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's right. So, Zeno requested that. I just came out. I didn't even think of this tune. And I said, oh, yeah, I could do the Eric Clapton one, you know. But, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I mean, he said, well, Eric Clapton made the popular, reggae popular. But for me, I always listened to the Eric Clapton one growing up. And I never really was even that familiar with the Bob Marley version until later on. I was like, eh, that's where that came from. So it's interesting to find out where things came from. Before that, we heard Setting Fire to Policemen by Peter Sellers. And we heard Police Sergeant Blues by C.W. Stone King. And then we heard Policemen by Mosquitos. Nice band. I think they're from Brazil. And David Byrne started that off with the Dream Police from Rio Momo. And, so today's show is all songs about the law officers and judges and the law, which, you know, is important. But it's a slippery slope, isn't it? Everything with human beings, we just can't do anything really all that well. Good intentions, you know, but it gets out of hand. You know, it always gets out of hand. This was bizarre. So I don't know if you remember. I remember when this record came out. I think it was like 1990 or 1970. Ice-T got together with this punk rock band, and they came out with a band called Body Count. You remember this? This was banned all over the place. The lead-off track was Cop Killer, and it was all about the police brutality. But you put a title like Cop Killer on there, and it don't matter what that song's about. You're axing for trouble. But it was all about the police brutality. Of course, I can't play it because, man, is it dirty. It's dirty. It's a dirty song. And what else I got to say? I should tell you about some other shows on this station. That would probably be a very, very interesting thing to do here. Where are the other shows at? Like, oh, I guess we don't know about it. I guess there isn't any. Okay, here they are. All right, All Things Folk, dedicated to traditional folk music, and that's Blues and Americana, covering North America. Or if Jim would have been the map maker instead of America Vespuzio, Jim Lynn, North Jim. Tune in Sundays 2 to 5. Oh, Pinckney Hall! Little cuddly guy, Kenny Joe. He won't be here. I don't think he'll be here next week either, but tune in to Pinckney Hall. Your tender little ditties that tighten the heart, lighten the heart, sharpen the spirit, and embolden the spirit, and sharpen the mind, and a lot of good things for you. And that's Friday, 9 to 10. And he's on. I will not be here the next 2 weeks. So if there's a specific show, nobody really cares, I guess. I'll just play whatever. I'll play an old show. I should play one of my shows, one of my early, just frighten everybody. Play one of my shows from, like, you know, when I first started on the station in 2000, 2001, when I first started. I have some of those old air checks. Play those, and I go, gosh, why is this guy talking about howlers? Why is this guy talking? And just, like, all these antiquated, all these things that are just no longer around. You know, and tonight at the 31st Street Pub, huh? What's going on? They're opening the 31st Street Pub again? That kind of thing. Should play one of those shows from like 20 years ago. Wow. So, yeah, this radio, it's something to do while you're alive. Life is something to do while you're alive. So even if it kind of gets nasty, you know, I think it beats non-existence, you know. But, you know, you never know. It is this fascinating thing where, I think Kierkegaard said we were just like thrown into life and we just kind of roll through it. And just tumble around, and then we just, it's like rolling down a hill off a cliff. Yeah, he's a pretty peppy guy, that old Kierkegaard. Yeah. But it's just like you're just thrown into life, and you're like, what is this? And you're like, you try and make the best of it. You really do. You try and make the best of it. You try and avoid traps. This is the important part of life. Remember that. Other people are there to trap you. A lot of people are there, like bosses, trap you to work for them. You know, people trying to trick you out of your money, trying to trick you out of your time, trying to trick you out of your emotions, trying to trick you. A lot of people are good, but you got to watch out for the rats. You know, you got to watch out for the rats out there. And everybody's got a little rat in them. I do. Everybody's got a little rat in them. You got, because like some people say, I got two wolves in me. Well, no, you got a rat and a squirrel. Each person has a rat and a squirrel inside of them. And it all depends on your variety of your amount of rat and your amount of squirrel. And some people, as they get older, you know, the squirrel gets a little stronger or the rat gets a little stronger. But people are born with a certain amount. Sadly, I think they're born with a little more rat because rats are more survivors. Squirrels are just like, hey, let's run around. Hey, look at this. Nuts. Yahoo. Let's climb up a tree. You know, rats are like, got to survive. Where's that? Got to get this. Oh, man. Got to. Oh, yeah. Got to chew this up. Yeah, everybody's. The rat is a survivalist in us. The squirrel is the joyous, experienced life and the wonder of this bizarre thing we're thrown into. And squirrels are very good about, like, you know, they take care of stuff, you know. Rats don't, you know. You ever see, like, oh, man. Well, then again, the squirrels do get into the bird feeders, but that's the rat and the squirrel. So there's even a rat and a squirrel, but there's a little bit of squirrels and rats, too. There you go. Now you know all of our rats. No one cares about the birds and the bees. We want to know about the rats and the squirrels. Here's the Dream Police by the Tubeway Army. Gary Numan. Don't worry, I'm going to follow it up with Cheap Trick. We'll be right back.
is the crime? We'll be right back.
Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. I can smell their donuts as they smell my breath. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. Police rode a block. I can smell their donuts as they smell my breath. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always pull me over Christmas. They're gonna let me out on bail this Christmas from the bottom of their hearts. Police lock me up. Police lock me up. The police lock me up. Cause when I blew a 2.1.
I got a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's the boss on this highway, so watch what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state, I'm the highway patrol. Well, you'll know me when you see me, cause my door's painted white with my siren screaming and my flashing red light. I work all day and I have all night just to keep in law and order, trying to do what's right. If I write you out a ticket, then you'd better drive slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. I'm the highway patrol, the highway patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. Driving too fast like you shouldn't do, you can bet your boots I'm coming after you. If you want a race, then get on a racetrack, cause if you try to run away, I'm gonna bring you back. I'm here to keep all the speeders driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. Well, I'm a highway patrol, highway patrol. My hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol.
Yeah, Red Simpson with Highway Patrol. That's another song I thought somebody else did. That was the original version of Red Simpson. I'm always used to the version that Junior Brown did. And I'm like, man, what a great song. What a great song right there. Here's somebody else's song. Hey, we heard, Dog Police. Oh, no, we heard Police Stop My Car first. Police Stop My Car. That was Bob Rivers, the guy that used to do all the... You know, Grandma, I think he did Grandma Run Over by a Reindeer. No, that was Elmo and Patsy. He did all the walking around the women's underwear. He did a lot of song parodies of Christmas. That's what he did. Bob Rivers, Police Stop My Car. Before that, we heard the amazing Dog Police by the band The Dog Police. And if you ever get some time, go to the YouTube. And fascinating story behind that. They were just now they're a jazz band. Now, like a couple guys, they're still together and they're a jazz band. But they just put this together with a really great makeup artist and a catchy tune. And they didn't want it to be too popular because I guess there was this show called The Electric Company for kids, and they had the thing called like Spider-Man, nobody knows who he is, and they took that as part of their chorus. Now, luckily, they didn't get in too much trouble over that, but they did mention that they took a chunk of this TV theme from that was used like a little skit in The Electric Company. But needless to say, before Dog Police, when Frank Zappa was relevant. There you go. Who were the Brain Police? When he really, the first couple of Mothers of Inventions album, a lot of great social commentary, and then he just got silly. Then he just got silly, you know, doing songs like Dynamo Hum, and I don't know. I never thought he was very funny. I thought he was a very smart guy, very amazing composer, but as far as his sense of humor goes, yeah, no. He's just too goofy. Too goofy for my blood. But who are the Brain Police? Man, from the album Freak Out, which came out in 1966. Outrageous. That was a double record. The story behind that was, see, back in the 60s, record companies wanted to sign any hippie band they could. You know, just because they could make them money. They didn't care what they were saying. They didn't care what they were doing as long as they were making the money. Because that was when the record industry was run by businessmen. Now it's kind of ran by, well, it's kind of ran by businessmen now. But there was a certain time where it was businessmen that just really didn't care much about the content. They just wanted to cater to the youth. And what they did is, so this story was, they're playing this blues tune. I think it's probably Trouble Every Day, which is just a pretty nice rockin' blues tune. And the guy walks into the Whiskey A Go-Go, hears one song, walks out and says, okay, we got to get this band, this Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. They were originally called the Mothers, but they changed it to the Mothers of Invention. And they signed these guys. They're a good blues band. So they signed them thinking they were a blues band. They get in and they do this record called Freak Out, which one whole side of this double record set is this like avant-garde noise collage. And they're like, okay, whatever. And from there on in, man, the album's like absolutely free. We're only in it for the money. Those are astounding records and really interesting statements for their time. Let's see, what else do we have before that? We already heard Double Shot of Dream Police. We heard the Dream Police by Cheap Trick. And we heard the Tube Boy Army doing Dream Police. So I got to tell you about my run-ins with the law. First off, whenever I don't know if you do this or not, but I always give the finger to the highway patrol people. Real subtle, not real, just kind of like a little something for you. How fast is this going? Because I think the idea of giving people a ticket for driving too fast is absurd. You know, unless it's dangerous. If you're driving dangerous, like one of these nuts that zoom in and out of traffic, like at 150 miles an hour, because they think they're a NASCAR, when all they have to do is they want to get to, you know, the Applebee's on time because they're running late. Those kind of guys get a ticket. But if you're doing like 80 miles an hour, you know, you're just speeding. You're just speeding. You're trying to keep up, then you get a ticket. Here's the thing. Okay, it's like the meat on Friday thing. Back a long time ago, it was a mortal sin to eat meat on Friday. Like have a hot dog on a Friday. You go to hell for that, up there with murderers. Then all of a sudden, Pope goes, nah, not so much anymore. Don't worry about it. Like, there was a time where it was 55 miles an hour. They were trying to, like, I don't know what was this thing. They took the speed limit from 70 to 55. And you know you can't drive 55. As Sammy Hagar once said, you can't drive 55. So they were giving all these people tickets for driving, you know, 60 miles, 70 miles an hour, which was the speed limit just like a couple years ago before that. And now it's back to 70 for the most part, 65 and 70. And it all depends on the driver. So needless to say, I think that giving people tickets is just revenue generation. All it does is they just generate revenue, you know. That, and I really don't think it's unnecessary. I think it's a necessary way to stick it to the little guy. You know, you got the person that basically a ticket is going to ruin their month, their year. You know, they get a $200 ticket for speeding, you know, and for the most part, they can't afford it. But then again, if you see this guy in his Maserati and he's driving like 150 miles an hour, zooming in and out of traffic, that should be a ticket for hazardous driving. Not just because you're driving too fast because they want to suck some money out of you. That's my opinion. That's why I always secretly give the finger when I'm driving by the highway patrol. Other thing is too. So I got to tell you about the time I was almost, I was kind of arrested. This was quite a while ago when I really had to hustle for money. You know, I really had to, this is some time ago. I had to really hustle for money, and I had a screen printing shop that did t-shirts. This was way back. I had a screen printing shop that made t-shirts. And my buddy goes, hey, you know, my sister lives in Daytona. Why don't we make a bunch of NASCAR knockoff t-shirts? And we go down there and we sell them along the side of the road. We can make a lot of money doing this. You know, t-shirts cost about maybe $1.50, $2. We sell them for $10 each. So we make, I think, close to 1,000 t-shirts. And they're like all like, you know, NASCAR knockoff t-shirts and the number 7 with, or number 2 or number 3 or whatever, but it's all that stuff. And we go down there and we go right near where, you know, the whole, the Daytona 500 is because it's race week. And like, okay, let's go down there. We sell one shirt. Cop comes over, busts us, takes the shirts we have, which we had about 200 of shirts with us. Says, oh, man. Got busted. And they said, these are all the shirts? Yeah, these are all the shirts we got. Fine. Later that day, we said, well, we still got 800 shirts left. So he said, let's go down the road a little bit and sell some shirts. So this is about, you know, about 3 or 4 hours later. We're down the road a bit selling shirts. Another cop. We sell one shirt. Another cop busts us, takes the shirts, and then says, I need you guys to stay under this tree. What? I need you guys. They didn't cuff us or anything, but they made us sit under a tree while they ran. They took our driver's licenses and they just sat. Just humiliating, you know. And what I found out, and they gave us a ticket for like $120 each for like knocking off NASCAR merchandise. Here's what we found out, though. So it's not like here where somebody like can like fake, you know, Steeler stuff, and they go down the street and nobody's gonna say anything because they're hawking Steeler stuff. You know, oh, here we go. And they're knockoff stuff. You know, and so, but when I tried doing it, we got busted twice. Second time they did give us tickets. But the thing is, we found out that the police are there to protect and serve the corporations. They're there to protect and preserve NASCAR. What they do is they take policemen from all around the country. They say, hey, listen, we're going to give you free tickets to NASCAR. But during the day, we want you to patrol. We didn't know this. During the day, we want you to patrol and bust anybody that's selling knockoff NASCAR merchandise. And that's what they were there for. They were there to serve and protect NASCAR. Who are we hurting? We're just trying to make a couple dollars, you know, selling t-shirts. And yeah, so they got us, and it was humiliating, but luckily, like, not really arrested, but we were sort of, you know, detained. That's a good word. We were detained for like about an hour and a half to sit under a tree while you know, my buddy goes, oh, yeah, it's all my sister's fault. It was her idea. No, he says, no, it was all our fault. You know, don't blame anybody else. We spent like a week printing t-shirts, too. You know, t-shirts, hats, all that stuff. And got busted big time. So that was my run-in with the law, and it wasn't pleasant, but it was with corporate law. So yeah, it was, and that's basically what they do to protect rich people. That's pretty much what the police's job is now, to protect rich people, make sure rich people keep their things. You know, it's pretty sad. Before it used to be serve and protect. Now it's like hassle and bully, you know? Then whatever. And there's some good cops out there, maybe. I don't know. I know a couple that are okay. They're retired guys. Oh, I got to tell you about this. So they wanted me to do. So I got to be friends with one of these guys. And he goes, you know what? This is once again, I was hustling for money. Hustling for money. And the guy goes, you know what? I'd like you. You can make some money transporting prisoners. Yeah. He says, yeah, we'll give you a car. And all you do is you transport prisoners. You transport prisoners here, and I couldn't do that. I would let them out. I go, okay, get out of here. You ran the way. You know, maybe it's because I've never been the victim of a crime. You know, maybe it's that. Maybe I just got a bit too much empathy for the human race on certain people that are beaten down. People only do crimes. People only steal bread when they're hungry. You know, I just didn't have the heart to drive a prisoner. Okay, here you go. You're going to jail now. That ain't in my wheelhouse. As much as I don't like human beings, I really don't like, you know, when the guy puts the hammer down on the little guy. Even if the little guy made a mistake, even if the little guy did something bad, you know, still, maybe it's because I'd never really been a victim of a crime, luckily. But that's one thing. I was offered the job to transport the prisoners, and I just couldn't find it in my heart just to be part of that equation. That's why I can't understand these ICE dudes. It's got to be a money thing. It's got to how these masked people can come and do that with any kind of a conscience, because they know they're doing the wrong thing. You know you're on the wrong side of history. But I guess you got family to feed, right? You got family to feed. You got money. Money you want to make. A lot of quick, easy money. No, man, your price has a soul on it. Your soul has a price on it. It really does. It all depends how much somebody can buy it for. All right, lawyers, guns, and money. Warren Zevon, Zombo in Your Brain.
the judge.
Session now. Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge.
Stop beating that fudge. 'Cause here come the judge. Don't nobody budge. 'Cause here come the judge. Judge Shorty is presiding the day, and he don't take no stuff from nobody, no kind of way. Hey boy, take off that hat. Where do you think you're at? I know where you gon' be if you don't eat my weed. I'm here to tell you.
I didn't do it, officer, sir. I didn't do it.
fire. And when I talk, no doggone dog bark, 'cause I'm vexed and double vexed though. Talk of court.
Yes, Sir Bryce.
Get me Judge Red. Sir.
Yes, my lord.
Oh, that's better. Well, take this book into your right hand and repeat after me. I am here to speak the truth.
I'm here to speak the truth.
Speak up.
I'm here to speak the truth.
I'm sure living truth.
True and living.
Speak up.
True and living truth.
So help my jumping gingerbread.
So help my jumping gingerbread.
Well, I can see here you have been charged for impersonating judge. Are in plain words. Judge. Now what have you to say for yourself, Judge Red?
Not guilty.
Not guilty? You know to tell me. I to know. You are in front of 12 of your own fellow men. As soon as they arrive at a verdict, I know how to deal with you, Judge Red.
He is thrown, Pierce. What have you done for the man with the old man? Why the man that turned back before the man?
Man, I'll tell you, if there was one dude I could ever hang out with, I think it would have been Jerry Reed. Man, what a great tune. That's a request from Zeno. He